Welcome to the pilot episode of What's on Joe Mine. It's a fandom podcast of Joe fans that just talk about things that, well, Joe fans talk about. My name is Gary, Commander-in-Chief. I'm also being joined by Chuck.
It's ChuckDog1999. Good evening, everyone.
And Greg Crosshair. Hi, guys.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Hey, can't complain.
We got rain in the Midwest, snow up north, and what's it like out in the New York area?
Well, it was actually raining heavily on and off all day.
So, welcome to spring, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be talking about a couple topics. Basically, it's what's on Joe Mine, or our mind, for that matter. A couple of us will have a couple topics, and the keeper of the agenda is Greg. So, Greg, go ahead and start us off.
All right. Thanks, Gary. So I guess we'll probably just start off with just a brief history of what we all do for Joe collecting. Myself, I've been collecting since pretty much 2003. I got back into it after taking off high school. And I actually joined a little bit later on with collecting. I was born in 85, so I missed the huge wave of, you know, 82 and the rise of Real American Hero. But I got all my brother's toys, so I got all the hand-me-downs that were... Some were broken and some were in pieces, but I still liked them a lot. So, I'm on Joe Customs and Joe Declassified and His Tank and a couple other places, all as Crosshair. So, yeah, that's me. What about you, Chuck?
Well, I've actually been part of the Joe fandom going all the way back to, I would say 1983, since the early figures I have the swivel arm. Went up all the way into the early 90s, but then stopped. The last figures I got then were the Street Fighter II ones. Picked it up again with the 25th anniversary, and I've been involved with it ever since. Gary, what's your story?
Oh, it's a long and twisted story. I am a Joe fan from day one. An 82 collector, straight arm, Grand Slam with the Howl. Was the first item that got me into this thing. I also started collecting the comics as a kid. Actually stopped collecting 86, 87, somewhere in there, because girls and sports became a little bit more interesting to me at the time. Got back into it around 2000 at the start of the Real American Hero line. Was always a lurker and a participant on the news groups and the Pit mailing list from Yo-Jo. And have been an online staple for most of the time, begrudgingly to some people a staple and a friend to others, of course. But I go by Commander-in-Chief, sometimes contributor on General Joe's, but you'll find me at Joe the Classified, JBL, Yo-Jo, His Tank, and even though I'm not a customizer, I actually am on Joe Customs. So... Greg, why don't you start us off with the first topic, what's on Joe Mine?
All right. So we just saw this yesterday, I believe. It was posted on His Tank, but someone found the Sky Striker price point in Target's computer systems, and it looks like it'll be retailing for $34.99, which is a little bit surprising. I think at the convention, the little placard said it was going to be $30 MSRP. But what do you guys think? Is $35 pretty good price for this new Sky Striker?
Yeah, I mean, first, I think this is going to be the largest vehicle we've gotten thus far. I'm not sure how it compares in size to the Rattler. I think, if I remember, it's a little bit bigger than the Rattler. But so I think we're getting off pretty lucky at $35. I mean, it's something since the day they announced they were going to extend the 25th anniversary line, every quarter or so when they would do a Hasbro Q&A, someone would always ask, are we going to get the Sky Striker? Are we going to get the Sky Striker? Where's the Sky Striker? So I think, you know, this is something that's been demanded, and, you know, it could be worse. We could have to pay $40 for it or something like that.
Well, I think even at $40 for a piece of plastic that size is still a decent price point, considering, you know, worst case scenario. At JoeCon, they talked about Warden, I believe the line line manager basically said that he thought outside of the box, literally, on this particular thing with the way that it comes apart and fits in the box. So part of the savings that we're getting is the fact that it can fit in a smaller box. They could put more per case, and that's, you know, ship out more to, you know, given locations. In theory, now, you know, how many is our Target or our Walmart or Toys R Us actually going to have at any given time? Who knows? But they reduced it to a single seater. That's confirmed. Some pretty cool things they got included in the box. This is stuff that we've seen from Joe-Con. They have different decals. You can you got optional color schemes that you can put on your Skystriker. You can give it a Real American Hero look, or you can give it a Pursuit of Cobra look based upon the trim and the pinstripes along the wings and along the fuselage, which is pretty cool. It's got the original concept back tail fins of the F-14. Originally, we were supposed to get back in the day black tail fins, and that wasn't delivered. We ended up getting the plastic gray ones. So it's going to look more like, you know, the F-14s from the Jolly Roger squadron, you know, the have the skull and crossbones on the back tail with the black tail. That's going to look more like that. So overall, I really don't think Joe fans have much to complain about with the way it's put together and with the price point. I can tell you that.
Yeah, I think I got to agree with that, because originally the Rise of Cobra Night Raven retailed for $40, I want to say. So, I mean...
Yeah, but that had Sound Attack.
Ah, yes, a big selling feature.
I bought it.
Well,
I thought about it when it was on clearance, but I just couldn't pull the trigger.
A lot of us bought it, but apparently not enough of us, because they're still sitting on clearance probably at some... I don't know, TJ Maxx or one of those type of places.
Ah, yes. Yeah. All right. Well, moving on. One of the big things that came out of the G.I. Joe convention a few weeks ago was Hasbro had its round table of unreleased items or stuff that had seen concepts, like either models or actual just drawings itself. But I think a lot of people were pretty happy and then pretty sad with what they saw. I'll send you guys a link real quick of just the one that I was looking at. But there's some pretty neat stuff in there, I thought. What about you guys?
I wept bitter, bitter tears. but also, in all honesty, and I could also understand why some of these couldn't come out. You know, of course, for me, the big stuff was really the, you know, G.I. Joe crossover Transformers, but the Phantom. I was going to call it the Ghost Rider, but that was the pilot. But I mean, if we could have gotten the Phantom again, oh, that would have been sweet. I never had a Phantom as a kid, and then I looked and I saw the what's its name? The Crosswing Choppers, Skystrom. Now, was that actually... See, this is what I got confused by. Was that going to be part of the 25th anniversary line, or is that actually going to be part of the... was supposed to come out 20 years ago as part of the Sky Patrol?
That was... I believe that was Sky Patrol.
Ah. See, I had the original one. Who knows? I might have double-dipped on it back then, because I really like that, you know, silver finish, but...
Hey, you vac-metal anything, and it's cool.
you know, my general rule for Transformers, for toy collecting in general, black variants or shiny metal, you just will buy anything.
I think Transformer fans pretty much demonstrate that with the way that they seem to clear out the club stuff every year. So I think if you could put a Rubik's Cube on the table, and if he says it has an alternate mode and it turns into a robot, I think you all would buy it.
Heck, I would buy that.
I'll do you one better. A stuffed animal of like a any Transformer or G.I. Joe character. Make it either all in black or a chromed finish, and that thing will sell. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, you got to look really no further than the I think the Canadian Con his tank from last year. I mean,
no,
yeah. you chrome anything, and you know the fandom just goes crazy, go nuts for it. So I think I kind of showed that with the Diaco head this year in the convention set. So hey, you know, you make it shiny gold, shiny silver.
I'm getting misty-eyed again. I'm looking at the Pursuit of Cobra Phantom X90. The what they, you know, the I think it was going to be a general retool of the original. Oh, that looks so nice.
Yeah, that does look pretty sweet. I hadn't really looked at the pictures that much of that one before, but I wonder how big that would have been. That looks pretty awesome.
Now, one of these I actually got to see in real life, and that is the Howler. Those of us that were at the con last year and went to the Hasbro tour, we saw a unpainted mock-up of this and a operational prototype of this. The unpainted mock-up was in the sculptor's area. Of course, no cameras, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, you see, they didn't point it out, but we're sitting there and you're kind of nudging each other going, is that the Howler? And you kind of touch and you're kind of getting trying to get a best eye on it possible, but they had it in the next couple sessions later. There was a session that the team had where it's Joe stuff that you will never see. Funny thing is they had the sand serpent sitting on the back wall, but of course you can find that at your nearest Ross store. this was a pretty... Man, if they could have come out with this, I think it would have been hot. First of all, the picture, I think the pilot for it's not in scale. I think that that's a photoshopped-in pilot. I think the cockpit could fit, too, side by side, I think. There were no windows on the cockpit. The cockpit just kind of opens up. So just like what you saw in the movie, it was kind of a windowless silver type thing. The cargo bay, I think, held 4. I think it dropped bombs, shot missiles, had sound attack, the VTOL nozzles would rotate, and I think you could probably mount another one or two on the outboard skids. I mean, had lights and the whole 9 yards. This thing would have been awesome if we would have got this, and you know, maybe if the Howler plays a role in the next movie, we'll see this. But you know, that's one of the things that people tend to forget from that particular tour is like they did show us this Howler, and the Howler was pretty sweet.
Yeah, I think the scale of it, with the pilot, threw a lot of people off. There was some complaining when the pictures were shown, like, oh, who would want that anyways? That looks like the size of the Ghost Hawk. But
well, I think a lot of that has to do with people that actually weren't on the Hasbro tour and actually, you know, got to see it as close as one could get. I mean, you're asking, it was Richard Woodhouse was the one that had it in his hand last year at the Hasbro thing, and you're like, can't really say, hey, can I see that? but he did demonstrate it, you know, shot missiles and the whole 9 yards. But once again, someone high on the line didn't think it was necessary for us, so who knows, you know, maybe next time. But that's the one that kind of gets me, and I think everyone oohed and aahed on the flag. That's another what could have been.
Well, my general rule is if you see a prototype that's that close to, like, the finished product stage, a lot of money has been invested to get it to that point, and the general rule of thumb with these companies is they can't eat that kind of cost. So at some point down the line, you're probably going to end up seeing, you know, the Howler.
Complaints out of me. If that's I know that for a fact on some of these figures that they're showing. I don't think I see any in here, but for instance, the Coral Scarlet. I mean, that's been floating around the internet since, you know, late 2008. I think I got my first one in 2009-ish, somewhere in there. And, you know, for a long time, it's coming out. It's going to be part of this comic pack. It's going to be part of that comic pack. It's going to be part of the convention set, et cetera. And then it just stopped. And you look at it and think, hey, that's a lot of money they spent on, you know, even though it's just a repaint, I mean, you still have, that's a lot of money there. Same thing with the Skydive Ripcord, I think they call it the Desert Attack Deck, or Desert Assault Ripcord, a Desert Attack Ripcord, where he's got the skydive equipment on, which the later the character became Skydive. And there's way too much new tooling there for them to cancel that one outright. They just swapped ahead because they didn't want to pay the licensing fees for, you know, Paramount anymore. But there was way too much new stuff there to say, eh, screw it, we're not going to make it.
Mm. Now, did you also guys notice the Sigma 6 Screaming Eagle jet? That really caught my eye because I just like that. You know, it's like, it sort of looks like the Phantom. I guess I'm on a Phantom kick now, but... You know, it had that, you know, that look. And, you know, judging by it, because looking at the figure, it's, I mean, you would assume that this would have been part of the 2.25-inch, 2.5-inch scale Sigma 6 figures. But it looks like that's a 3.75-inch figure. So who knows? This might have come out, you know, as part, you know, it would have been that vehicle from that show, but part of, you know, the 3.75-inch line.
Do either of you guys collect Sigma 6 at all?
Yes, I did.
I boycotted the line at that point.
It was funny. I actually got into it, like, after it was off the shelves. I actually went back and bought, like, off of eBay here and there a lot of the figures, you know. I'm actually very happy I was able to get one of the Lieutenant Stones with the black Cobra armor before he, you know, the change into the... lighter color. There was actually a couple of the variants I was able to get just because my Toys R Us brought out older stock and they still had it. So,
yeah. I think there's a lot of people like yourself that picked it up after the line was dead, I guess, or ended. And then, because, I mean, even just action figure fans in general, I think they realize that Sigma 6 as an action figure line, regardless of what the backstory is behind it, they were just good figures. I mean, highly articulated, awesome weapons, good designs.
That Switchfire concept, I'm like, I would love to see it done on a 3.75-inch scale. I mean, I love the Switchfire. It's like, it's a laser pistol. Then you know, you put a rifle attachment onto it. It's, you know, a semi-automatic rifle. You can even add a bayonet to it. If you need something stronger, you can turn it into a, you know, a rocket launcher. It was just, you know, that type of modular weapon system, I think, is something that Hasbro should, in the future, think of exploring with the Joe line.
And that came with the original Duke figure, is that correct?
Well, all the Duke figures came with a Switchfire, and the different ones, like the original, the Arctic Attack, whatever, would have different attachments for it. You know, the original Duke came with, like, most of the Switchfire attachments. The Arctic Duke, he actually had one that was a rocket launcher. And then when they started doing a lot of the Adventure Team figures, a lot of those other characters were coming with Switchfires. And instead of having three Switchfire attachments, they would have like one or two that were getting reused.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Now that you mention it, because I picked up, Parachuting Duke, which I'm guessing is just a repaint, but he had one of those Switchfire like assault rifles. It was a smaller one, but yeah, it's still locked into it.
Yeah, and I remember the torpedo I had came with the Aquatic Duke, mini personal motorized sub thing that had two Switchfires into it. That you know, you could pop them out, change the position. It goes from like a little torpedo thing to like a rocket launcher. You know, it's like really that modular design was something I was hoping they would continue with, but, you know, they dropped that whole concept. Did you guys see the Mobat tank in UN blue?
Yeah. That was, considering it was just a repaint, that's probably the one I wanted the most and probably could see still coming out in the next couple of years.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. I never hit a Mobat as a kid. The biggest tank I had was the Armadillo, so maybe that's why. But I think it looks awesome in the UN colors with the blue bogey wheels and the black treads. I think that looks fantastic.
Somebody said that if they ever released that, you would have the fans with pitchfork and torches in hand just storming Hasbro's Rhode Island headquarters because... apparently, you know, making, you know, really pushing that international flavor would drive them over the line. It was funny. You know, that big, I know they re-released the Mobat in this big Target exclusive battle pack. And I saw it once, but unfortunately the packaging was so heavily damaged, I couldn't tell that if anything was missing or, you know, broken. So I said, you know what, for the price it is, I can't buy it. And now, whenever I see it, you know, it's about $60, but, you know, for $60, you get a lot in that set.
And that was the Mobat that came with the Ultimate Battle set, and this is the Mauler, is that right?
Oh, yeah, Mobat, Mauler, and it's, I forget, they're like, they're two different things.
Yeah, me too.
This is a repaint of the Mauler. Okay. I mean, it works the same way as the Mobat. It was a motorized tank, you can go forward, it can go backwards, and the turret spins.
Right, okay.
You know one thing I'm disappointed about that I didn't see here? No concept helicopters. It's, you know, outside of that Dragonhawk we got in the Rise of Cobra line, which I'm not entirely in love with. Yeah, I was really hoping we'd get something closer to the original Dragonfly style.
Yeah, that's kind of surprising. I would hope, I mean, hopefully if the Sky Striker does well, we'll see something else helicopter-wise, because, I don't know, they look nice. I just picked up a Tomahawk this last summer, my first one of those, and I've been piecing it back together slowly, but it just looks so cool on display with the rotors sticking out like 10 inches on each side, and you can just pack tons of figures in there, and I don't know, it'd be nice to have something, some sort of a little bit bigger helicopter that could fit more than one person in it.
It's funny because they had a concept picture of what the Dragonfly was, what the Tomahawk was originally supposed to look like.
Oh yeah, and that was definitely strange looking.
Well, it's actually, if I remember, that was actually what the Dragonfly helicopter that in the comics looked like, that Wild Bill flew, because he would, you know, he would be flying that helicopter, and he would be carrying the APC, you know, transport vehicle underneath with all the other Joes in it.
I'll have to go back and take a look at those older issues. I remember, because in the first, like, I don't want to say first year or second year, they didn't have that many vehicles in the line, so whoever was it Herb Trimpe was the original artist?
Yeah.
Okay. He would just, you know, come up with a design for whatever they needed for a particular mission, and then later on, once the line started filling out with all sorts of vehicles, he started using the official ones.
The issue I remember it in was the one where they were invading Springfield. I think it was the part of the story where we saw Destro in full, and he thought the Baroness had been killed when a plane exploded or something.
Yeah, I would say it's issue 13, 14, 59. Now, 16 is Night Attack. So, and Destro was already revealed by that point. 11, I want to say 12 or 13. Because 11, Destro was teased.
Yeah, no,
as a shadow that was in the background.
Yeah, because that's what I remember. Because I remember Wild Bill dropping the APC onto the grounds, and they were driving up into Springfield.
And we had there was a modern era comic pack on that with Destro and the kind of the light blue motif and Breaker. So that was that particular issue. So they did do a comic pack on that.
That was that first wave of comic packs where they didn't have the new figures yet. So they were doing repaints and retools of the figures they already had. So and that's how they were creating like Breaker, and that's how they got you know, then they were doing that Destro.
Let's see, that would be issue 14. Destro on the cover. So there you go. That's the one you're talking about.
I hope so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the one. That's where they attack Springfield. Actually, Springfield, Vermont, of all places. All right, what do we got next on the agenda after talking about stuff we'll never see?
let's see. It looks like this is last week, Thursday, Hasbro announced its profits for, was it the first quarter? And they were down 71%, which was posted all over the Joe boards. And some people started freaking out and other people realized that that's just the way business goes, is if it's an off season, especially right after Christmas, that things might not go as well. But did you guys read that article on MSN about that?
Yes, actually. Then I've read a couple other articles about it then. I think what needs to be people need to remember is Hasbro didn't lose money. They just didn't make as much money as they expected. And see, what's been happening is since the Transformers movie in 2007, Hasbro has been bringing in more money. So, of course, instead of saying, well, we had a movie, this is what's bringing in this popularity, when we don't have a movie, we're probably not going to do these same numbers, and adjusting the numbers accordingly, they're constantly expected to deliver these kind of big numbers. And they didn't. And, you know, now, this is nothing to panic about. We all know that this happens. You know, nothing's going to get canceled. Like when Rise of Cobra underperformed, nothing's going to get readjusted. But, you know, we need to look, maybe 2013, you know, if Hasbro's doing numbers like this, because, you know, by that point, as far as I know, the Transformer movie franchise is going to be done, and depending on how Joe 2 does, that movie franchise might be done. And then if they're pulling in these kind of numbers, then we might have to start worrying. But right now, it's just, you know, the nature of how things are. And, you know, this economy, post-holiday season. You know, I actually read an article that was posted on Cybertron.com where the person was discussing that stores now order more product closer to the sale time. For example, if I manage Toys R Us, I'm going to order figures on Monday to sell them on Friday, instead of I would order figures in February that will carry me through March, April, and May. And that's causing an issue. Plus, they're also mentioning what I've been seeing, that stores have older stock that they're putting out and restocking with instead of pushing out the newer stock.
That would make sense. Just based on Joe-wise, because I remember, I think this was probably back in December, people were complaining about how there would be, like, Joe figures would be on sale 2-for-1 or whatever the great deals that Toys R Us had. And people are complaining because they were restocking with the Rise of Cobra wave, like, 2, instead of with the newest Pursuit of Cobra. So I guess we're seeing the real-life ramifications of that.
Well, you know, this surprises me too, but I gotta tell you, of all the issues Hasbro's been having, you can't find Marvel Universe. Good luck finding anything past Wave 1 of the Iron Man 2 figures. Transformers, you know, nothing after the first initial waves of Hunt for the Decepticons and Generations. G.I. Joe, it takes a while, but the newer figures get out there. And this is really the first time I can say that. You know, the 25th anniversary figures and vehicles were spotty at best at retail, so I ordered everything online. Rise of Cobra, it took, you know, depending on the wave, depending on the figure, it might have taken a while, but I did eventually see them. But those were also mixed in with, you know, the majority of the Wave 1 figures. So, you know, I mean, Joe's actually, in my opinion, moving better than Transformers, Marvel Universe, and, you know, they're now it's Thor and Iron Man are on the shelves, and they'll soon be joined by Captain America, and, you know, I don't know how those go. Okay, wanted to ask you guys a question. You've both watched the Hub Network, correct?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Have you seen advertisements for any Hasbro product, be it G.I. Joe, Transformers, the Marvel, Iron Man, the, you know, anything?
I think just the Iron Man, I think, is all I've seen.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen anything I can think of, not even like girl toys for Hasbro either.
No Joe, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And I really think that's part of the problem is that, because it's funny, parents groups were complaining about the Hub Network, saying it was going to be a 24-hour advertisement for Hasbro products, and we haven't seen anything advertised. I mean, Hasbro, I mean, don't make it a 24-hour infomercial, but put, I mean, maybe it's a law that they can't, you know, advertise their figures, but, you know, TF Prime is not advertising the figures on the shelves. G.I. Joe Renegades is not advertising the figures on the shelves. You know, I mean, there has to be some inclination to say, hey, kids, this is the product we have now. You know? I mean, kids are going to go look for what they're seeing on television. And, you know, they're seeing Prime, they're seeing Renegades, they're not seeing it in stores, so they're not going to buy it. But if you show them in commercials, this is what's in stores, they might be more inclined to buy it.
It's possible that, well, there's maybe an issue with that in that there isn't actually any Renegades figures on the shelves and there isn't any Prime figures on the shelves yet. I mean, both those are coming this fall, I believe.
Yeah, fall, which is a whole nother thing. I mean, this is a pattern they've been doing since the last Transformers series where it's almost 6 months that you'll see product on the shelves that tie into it, and by that point the series has run its course. I mean, when the Renegades figures hit, how many months will Renegades be off the air by then? 2-3 months? That's a lifetime in you know, a kid's memory.
Yep, that's true. Speaking of upcoming toys, moving on to our next topic. Posted last week on eBay, we've seen Wave 6 of Pursuit of Cobra, which is also being called 2011 Spring Wave 4, I believe. That has the Viper, Iron Grenadier, Crazy Legs, the Training Snake Eyes, etc. So those are posted on eBay, and then a few people decided to buy them, and they actually arrived already. So we've seen some pictures posted. I saw them first on, of course, JodeClassified.com. But have you guys seen the pictures of those yet?
Yeah, they're pretty slick. Actually, today I got a package from China that had the Iron Grenadier and the Viper in it. Haven't opened them yet. One noticeable thing to tie in with our hub discussion, there are no hub stickers on these things. Really? So that's interesting. I don't know if it's just, you know, maybe we got some carded samples from China, which I don't think is the case, or they're just not going to worry about advertising the hub anymore. But the figures themselves are pretty slick. It's definitely an improvement for the Viper. I think it took the best of what was in the 25th Modern Era one and combine it with the best that was in the Hall of Heroes one and added a little bit more to it, such as the additional wrist articulation. Looks pretty slick. The IG, he's touting a lot of firepower, and that's pretty cool. I haven't seen the Cobra Trooper personally up close, but it looks like, you know, it's just going to be your standard Cobra Trooper in blue with your Kalashnikov sniper rifle type thing. What Joes we got in this wave? We got is this Crazy Legs?
Crazy Legs, the Steel Brigade Trooper, and I think General Hawk.
Yeah, Crazy Legs, I think a lot of people have been asking for him since 25th Modern Era. Looks pretty good. They did reuse Sandstorm's head from the Ram Cycle Desert Battle canceled but showed up in Ross Target exclusive.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just going to start calling it the Ross exclusive Ram Cycle. But anyways, they got his head, which is actually looks pretty good. General Hawk, you know, it's just your single individual character that you have in the wave. Steel Brigade, hey, now you got a Joe you can army build. So I'm definitely going to grab a couple of those guys. All in all, not too bad. Nothing groundbreaking, but certainly in lieu of absence of new product, it's definitely nice to see something fresh for a change.
Yeah, I've seen the pictures. First of all, I must say that for 20 years I've been pronouncing the name wrong because I've always said Iron Grenader. You know, so it's Grenadier, like the drink, Grenadine.
Yep. that's hanging out with those IGs from his tank too much at con. So yeah, yeah, Iron Grenadiers, yeah.
Or the great Norwegian guitar player Yngwie Malmsteen. Of course, then I'm dating myself. I have to say, I think that the weakest looking figure for me, besides the Cobra Trooper, is that the Grenadier. I don't like the gray on him. I would prefer him to be in black with the more slicker suit. I understand that from the neck down, it's basically the armored Destro. I mean, I like the gun, and maybe I'll change my opinion once I have him in hand. The Cobra Trooper, I mean, for the life of me, what is the problem with giving them the AK-47, like it says on their bio card, so that's what they use? Giving them a sniper rifle, general infantry troopers, giving them a sniper rifle is insane. Plus, have you ever been able to find a carded Cobra Trooper that the tip of that rifle was not bent in the package? The only saving grace on him is that it looks like he comes with two silenced pistols with a holster that can fit one of them. The Viper I'm ecstatic about. I mean, I was really disappointed when we got the 25th anniversary Vipers that those wrists were, like, done awkward and, you know, just didn't work for me. And then, of course, you know, there was that one Viper we got in the Cobra 5, one of the later Cobra 5 packs that had normal arms. The Steel Brigade brings back a lot of memories, because I actually remember I sent away, I don't know if you guys is, but I sent away for, like, the little mail-away Steel Brigade member, got the patch and everything, the little certificate. Of course, I picked for my code name Hawk, because I was basically thought that was the cool name at the time. Completely oblivious that there was a General Hawk. But yeah, I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to him, and, you know, of course, I'm also looking forward to General Hawk. And one thing I like at all these figures is the accessories. The big, you know, the Steel Brigade guy's coming with a lot of weapons. General Hawk's coming with a lot of weapons. Iron Grenadier's not coming with a lot, but you know what? He's got, like, some sort of hand mount, arm, waist-mounted chain gun of some sort. And
steady gun. The steady gun.
All right. And actually, the Viper is coming with the rocket launcher that was from the Resolute 5 pack.
Yeah.
The first one, which I always liked that for some reason. I hope they made the spring a little stronger, because I don't know if on mine, you actually have to open the front doors first, then launch the missile, instead of just the missile blasting through like it's supposed to. But, yeah, that's just me.
Well, with anything with, if you don't like the weapons, let's do our first plug here for Marauder John. Go to Marauder John's website, Google it, and buy your weapons from Marauder John, your local 1/18 scale gun runner.
Yeah, I can't say enough good things about the stuff that he puts out. I augmented all of the Cobra Troopers I have with AK-47s from him, and they look just a ton better, which I'll be doing the same with these Pursuit of Cobra 1.
You know, Hasbro better give this guy a nod, because that Megatron pistol that's coming with the Cobra Commander from the San Diego Comic-Con set, that looks exactly like the modified Walther P90 that he's been selling for years. And where else can you find an Auto 9, the RoboCop gun, for your G.I. Joes? Huh? Come on now. RoboCop. That's a rite of passage.
Well, yeah, we ought to... actually, that might be a possible future guest that we can probably get on this thing. John, actually, not to unveil too much of his background, my understanding is he was been in the toy business for a long time, and that's where he's got the contacts for this. I believe he might have been a buyer for one of the major toy retail chains back in the day. So, hey, lucky for us, he's a fan, and lucky for us that he's making some good weapons. But there's our first plug. I don't know what we're going to get out of that. But Marauder John, for your augment 1/18 scale gun needs.
There you go.
So one thing that I thought was kind of interesting was... So we've seen pictures of Wave 6, and they were posted on eBay, and they've arrived, as Gary said, he got a few in. But Wave 5, that's the one with Blowtorch, General Hawk, Steel Brigade, etc. they were supposed to come out before 6, and we haven't seen anything of them, so I'm not sure.
Wave 5 actually showed up on Taobao, and some of those will probably be making their way here via Mr. Goggles and some other folks here relatively soon, so keep your eyes open. They did show up on Taobao, which is the Chinese eBay site, if anyone doesn't know, but I think we all know by this point.
Did I screw up and say General Hawk and the Steel Brigade were in Wave 6?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
That's all right.
I have problems with numbers.
The Steel Brigade, actually, that's kind of why I'm like, when you mentioned the Steel Brigade, I was like, yeah, I mentioned it as a matter, because they have pictures of it close up pretty good on Taobao, and I was looking at it from there. It's something we could finally army build. For the Joes, at least.
Yeah, I mean, you never had that many options over the years. I mean, recently you had the Pick Commando, you had the Green Shirt Pack, but, let's be honest, Steel Brigade, I think it's the best. I mean,
And something I didn't realize about the Steel Brigade until a guy on Twitter pointed out last week, I think his name's Compulsive, or it's a Caped Crusader or Compulsive Collector, one of those two, but the Steel Brigade, his helmet comes off, and underneath is just like a masked balaclava head, which I had no idea.
I think we were missing the Rock Viper. That's what we were missing from this particular
game.
Yeah, it's okay. It's you know, I'm not going to army build it, but it's definitely pretty cool.
Can I ask you guys something? What campaign is the Rock Viper? Because is he desert?
That's a good question. I think it might be desert.
Because I was thinking about this the other day. Jungle, we have the Jungle Viper. City Strike, we got the Alley Viper and the Shock Trooper. We have no troopers for the Arctic set, the Arctic campaign, and we had no troopers for the Desert campaign. I mean, we got the Hiss for the Desert, we got Zartan for the Desert, and we got a Storm Shadow, but no troopers. So I'm hoping that the Rock Viper is Desert, because I think they can use a couple troop builders there.
How are we doing on time?
Yeah, well, coming to about 46 minutes. So we could probably, unless anybody else has something else to add, did you guys get anything in the last week or so?
Other than, nothing I can really talk about quite yet. but I did get the two Wave 6 figures today. But in terms of stuff from mainline regular release, no, I don't have anything quite yet that other than those two.
What about you, Chuck?
Actually, I did. Had to bring my cat to the vet. Since she was going to be there a while with Tess, I took a chance, made her run to Target. In my area, the Target in my area has been where I've had the most luck finding G.I. Joes. And sure enough, they had a lot of the newer waves in stock. So I picked up an extra Cobra Shock Trooper. Already got one in the mail. And now I have a rule. If there's only one of a figure on a shelf, I leave it. I broke the rule because I didn't know when I was going to see this guy. I picked up Shadow Tracker. I haven't had a chance to open them yet. I like the way that the Shock Trooper looks. Basically, I look at him as the complement to the Alley Viper. These are the guys who go in the door. These are the guys who go in the door first, and the Alley Viper's following behind them. Shadow Tracker, guy likes knives. I don't see myself using a lot of these just because there's not a lot of place to carry them. But, I mean, he can carry some of them, but my God, it's like there's like a machete, two different machetes, one small knife, one, I would say it's more of a dagger type of knife, and then there's this like curved, like 13. You know what it looks like? If you ever go hunting, it's the tool they use. But yeah, these are really great figures, and I'm just very lucky to find them.
Yeah, I got the Shadow Tracker standing on my desk right now, and he is, besides a neat design and being very, very creepy, it's also really well articulated, and he can move around very well. So, I guess I actually didn't get anything in this week new. I got a couple parts and pieces and trade fodder, but that was about it. So that was about it for me. Hopefully next week will be a little bit better. I'm supposed to have a Tomahawk canopy coming in.
All right, there you go.
So that'll be nice. Hopefully
vintage
be able
pieces.
To,
that's nice.
Yeah, the guy said it was a little bit warped, but we'll see. Hopefully I should be able to fix that. So unless you guys have anything else to add?
No, I'm good, and I think we'll pretty much wrap it up at this point. Tell you a little ways to contact us, since this is a pilot. We'll give this a shot for a couple weeks, see how it goes, and we appreciate your feedback. If you can catch us on joetoclassified.com, there will be a thread that we'll have started for What's on Joe Mind feedback. And feel free to PM any one of us for the time being. We'll be based out of Joe to Classified. Either Crosshair, Commander in Chief, or Chuck Dog, was it 1999. There we go. Give us a PM, give us your feedback, give us your thoughts. And going forward, we might be able to get some guests on here to talk. And hey, maybe we'll even add some music in an intro. But let's leave the fancy stuff for later. But other than that, hey, this is Gary. Guys, you want to say goodbyes?
Thanks, everybody, for listening. And I really hope to hear from some of you. And let us know what you think.
Yeah, I'll let go of that. Thank you, guys, for listening. Thanks for being patient on our first pilot. We've got three strangers trying to talk about Joe's. It can be a little bit interesting, but thank you for listening.
All right, and we'll catch you next time on What's on Joe Mind.